Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish here in Allston, Massachusetts. And of course, I welcome you to our broadcast. We're not obviously able to welcome you to church right now, even to pray, because the Cardinal has asked all churches to basically close unless we can station someone to count how many people go in. That's not practical right now. So we are encouraging you to pray at home. In the meantime, we continue our program. So we are working through this fourth Sunday of Lent, and we are working towards the fifth Sunday of Lent, where the reading is about Lazarus and about the raising of Lazarus. So we're talking so far about the message being sent to Jesus by Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who we understand were sinners, asking Jesus to come to heal Lazarus. Jesus says no. Basically, at that point, says, not yet, not now, we'll wait a while. And I suppose if we had a telephone call, it'd be like, what do you mean you're going to wait a while? He doesn't have that much time. But what happens is, of course, is that Jesus is saying, no, not yet. Why is he saying that? Because he has something greater in store. Remember that when it feels that Jesus is not listening to your prayers, he is. The answer is no, because I have something greater in store that you do not know. Trust in me. So, something you need to know. When I was a sailor, and you can, I'll give you this idea for you to experience as well. When I was a sailor, one of the things we learned, of course, we'd be on the water, obviously, because that's where sailors are. Say I was in the middle of the Pacific. Or better yet, just because sometimes it's a better example because of, you know, things that we understand politically and stuff. South China Sea, that was one of the places I was, which was the calmest sea I had ever been in. So you're South China Sea. Now, when I was there, and it doesn't necessarily mean that's always the way it is, it was almost like a sea of glass. That's how flat it was. So you're on the ocean, and you look out to the horizon, and the horizon is 12 miles away, okay? So, if you are in our listening area, and you are either at Nantasket Beach, or you're at Revere Beach, or any one of the beaches, you're in Rockport, or you're in Gloucester, or you're down in Cohasset, or Hanover, or Marshfield, whatever the case may be, when you're standing on the beach, and you're looking straight out at the horizon, you're looking 12 miles. That's how far the horizon is. Now, obviously, when you are on land, it's a little different because there are structures that are there as opposed to nothing but straight water. So you can see a certain distance, and something that may be on the horizon that's a structure is going to be higher. You know, you're going to see it. So you're going to be essentially see something. You can see something, we'll say, 13 miles away because it's a structure. Now, if you can imagine, Martha greets Jesus as he arrives. Finally, he says, well, it's time to go. Lazarus has died. And Martha is waiting for Jesus. You can imagine her looking down the path. You can imagine the hot day, the dust. Always, when you're putting a story together, always make sure you just take all your senses together and you all say, you know, how does it feel? How does, you know, what are the aromas in the air and everything else? So doing that, there she is standing in the desert. Imagine that wind that's blowing. And in the desert, the wind is very loud and you can see the wind just pushing dust away. And Martha is standing there waiting for her friend Jesus to show, who did not show up when she expected him when Lazarus had died. And suddenly, as she looks out to the horizon and sees that flatness, except for the structures that may be there, she looks down the road and suddenly she starts seeing these heads bopping up. And she finally realizes he's finally arrived. He's late. And boy, am I going to give him a piece of my mind when he shows up. He should have been here 2 days ago. You could have imagined she may have been thinking along those lines. Because remember, she's the one who was the busy one, had everything planned, everything else. Well, she was upset that Mary was just listening to Jesus sitting at his feet. So here he's coming down the road. He knows what he has planned. He knows that he's got a big surprise for her. The apostles may be a little bit anxious. Uh-oh, she's gonna be upset. Oh, she doesn't look too good right now. Are you ready? And here he's walking down. Now, there is something you can see when you read the Gospels, and you see this happening all the time, and you're going to see this happening here. Jesus expands the minds of the disciples and the apostles. So many times they're expecting him to do certain things, and he just doesn't until he does something even greater, because he's leading people to think differently, to think in touch with God, to think a whole different way, not to think as the world thinks. And that's what's happening here. He's doing it again. He's walking down the path, purposely not showing up when Lazarus was dying so he could raise him from the dead, as he did Peter's mother-in-law, as he did Jairus' daughter, etc., etc. He purposely comes waiting for Lazarus to have died. And he's coming down the road. And finally, as he approaches and Martha's ready to give him a piece of her mind, she says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Expressing that disappointment, expressing that sadness. "Look, we expected you here. This is your beloved friend who died, and you raised all these other people from their illness, but you did nothing for him. And don't think I didn't notice that," right? You can get that idea. So Jesus then communicates to her those powerful words. And this is another thing he does. When he tells her that what he's doing is, he explained to her that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that in such a way that he's drawing out her faith from her. "Your brother will rise." And I know he'll rise. I know that. Yeah, fine. I know that. That's fine. And the resurrection on the last day. Yeah, I get that. I got your teaching, but you should have been here 2 days ago. And then he says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes. You know, I've come to believe." And she says, you know, she says that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Now she's probably puzzled. You can, again, take a look at what her face may look like. You kind of put that into your mind. And it's probably that puzzlement. Why are you asking me these questions? You know, my brother just died. You know, we expected you here. Now you're asking me questions. What's going on? And she affirms her faith. And she then is going to bring him over to the tomb of Lazarus. But her faith is affirmed. There's an important message that we are going to see there. And with that, we also see that Jesus is now going to go over, and he's going to go over to the grave. Now remember, people are there. People are there. They're mourning. You have professional mourners there. You have the village there. You have people talking. "Well, you know, he was his friend. He didn't, you know, he raised Jairus' daughter. Didn't know that one. But here he is. This was his friend. He never showed up. You know, I don't know what this Jesus is all about here. Maybe he's too much of a sinner." And remember what I said. Ain't no such thing. Pardon my language. I love to tell, I went through 20 years of school in order to become a priest. So if I want to say ain't, I'm going to say it. So anyway, all of a sudden they recognize that, you know, he wasn't there. They don't have the expectation that he's going to give to them when he does this miracle. The apostles are a little confused because they don't know what he's going to do. And Martha is probably very angry along with Mary. Especially now he starts asking those questions, and there she's giving the answer, but now what is he going to do? So imagine all those people around, and that mourning that's been going on, and the professional mourners that stand there and cry, and they all dressed as professional mourners, and notice all of that going on, and then Jesus says to remove the tomb. Now, I'm sure they didn't expect what was coming next. I'm sure they said, well, he probably wants to go in and take a look at the body and see what his, you know, say at least some kind of a goodbye, like a wake to his friend Lazarus. And suddenly, you know, they remove the tomb, which of course we know was not an easy thing to do. And so now, and of course they warn him, there's going to be a stench. These are important factors because they reflect the humanness. That's important. Don't put into the Bible stories things that are less than human. Everyone there is human. All their reactions are human. All their realities are human. Everything that's happening are as humans are doing it in their respective cultures. Don't make Bible stories filled with angelitos, these little angels that have no human aspect to them. So as he shows up, as he's deals with the disappointment of Martha and Mary, as he deals with that crowd that's like, well, what is he going to do? And as he deals with that maybe snide remarks, well, it's about time he showed up. What was he busy doing? Maybe praying too much or something? We expected him 2 days ago. You can imagine a lot of that was going on. And then he says to remove the tomb stone. And suddenly, everything changes. Lazarus is called out from the tomb, and they recognize that everything Jesus said to Martha is now been proven true. Just what you saw, Jesus is saying, everything that Jesus says to Martha has now been proven true. Bam. Kind of really powerful. And once we see that, we recognize what Jesus is doing. Remember, we are the voice of St. Anthony Parish of Alston, Massachusetts, and you can listen to us every single day, Monday through Friday, at WROL 950 AM, 100.3 FM at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can also get us through WROL.com and also SaintAnthonyHomilies.com, as well as Saint, S-A-I-N-T, AnthonyAlston.org. St. Anthony Homilies, by the way, is STAnthonyHomilies.com. Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Anthony, Alston.org. Either way, you can listen to our program. You can connect to a way to listen to our program. And you can also be here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Whatever is best for you. In the meantime, have a blessed day.